Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. So glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind that glass lies a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
And after a month and a half, we have a radio show. We have a radio theme. Seth and Sean Sports Radio, we don't have the co-host. Mr. Palmer should be on shortly. And we can talk. There's a lot to talk about in a very, very short period of time. Seth and Sean Sports Radio, Blog Talk Radio, backsportspage.com, as always. People want to call in today, 760-283-0846. And I'm going to wait for Sean to talk about Missouri. I think it does need to be discussed in this era of more and more social, athletes taking really having more than just showing social causes that they're standing out for. And it leads to a really interesting discussion point on whether, as you may know or may not know, Missouri football team decided that they were going to boycott all games until the president resigned due to some anti-Semitic and racial issues that were going on throughout the campus over the last year, where they didn't feel the president had contributed enough or really had taken any leadership position in these areas. We'll get to that when Sean comes in. We have our college basketball preview. We have pro football. We'll start with college football. Because, well, admittedly, it's what he knows least. And we start with, I guess it was the first four. And this is why this is so, a lot of this is so silly. And a lot of these, people are worrying about what happens in October. And as many of you know, I'm a huge, huge, huge college football fan. It is my sport. To my wife's chagrin, because it also means that the NFL is my sport. So I watch a little bit more football than she would like. When we looked last week, there were a lot of teams that there were still some misconceptions on. They were still trying to figure out, are they real? Are they fraudulent? You go with TCU, a team that, in my opinion, deserved to make the final playoff last year and got gypped. This year, undefeated, not looking quite as good. Although Trevell Boykin, their Heisman-esque quarterback, has been phenomenal. They go to Oklahoma State in this defense, which is usually the linchpin for Gary Patterson's team, just gets annihilated, losing by about 25 to an undefeated Oklahoma State team, a team not really thought of as particularly credible, although they had been undefeated. They had a couple pretty weak wins. But they went in and absolutely annihilated, destroyed the Horned Frogs, and probably ended their playoff hopes. Because when you have these kind of bad schedules, really weak out of conference schedules, you pretty much have to go undefeated, and it's why teams like Stanford and Notre Dame, although they have a loss, they were ranked higher than TCU and than Baylor was initially in the initial BCS standings. So we have that. Clemson proves its legitimacy, beating Florida State, winning the ACC, whatever the heck the division name is. I think it's the Coastal. And for all intents and purposes, this team has clinched a place in the playoff. The reason I say that, and maybe, is you look at who they've beaten: Notre Dame, they've beaten Florida State. Their last three games, I believe, are against teams whose combined record, I don't have the schedule off the top of my head. I know South Carolina is one of them, I believe, are 9-18. And they'll be very heavily favored over whoever wins the other division. I believe it's North Carolina, who has looked extremely good. probably the quietest 8-1 you'll ever see. Although they're now up to 17, having beaten Duke by about 190 this past weekend. Other teams that probably need to be discussed a little bit. Is it LSU, Alabama, the big game, Leonard Fournette pretty much clinching his Heisman Trophy if they were able to win at Bama at Bryant-Hare. And not only did they lose, but Fournette really was not even the most impressive running back in the game. You have Derrick Henry ran for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns as Alabama beat LSU 30-16. Excuse me. And you really have a cluster beep in the SEC West, or the SEC East. I never remember which one's which. Between Ole Miss, who lost in overtime, it does seem like there's one ridiculous play every single week. You can find the 4th-16 play or 4th-24 play for Arkansas Ole Miss. I suggest you find it. Bordering on hysterical. So, now Alabama does have a straight run to the SEC title, and the SEC East title, or the SEC West, as I said, I forget which one they are, probably the SEC West, I would think, to play Florida, who looked absolutely awful in beating Vandy 9-7. Of course, I was watching all this from Miami with a bunch of Florida alum. Not too bad watching this from the beach or from the pool with a drink in hand and, I'm not going to say a lot of 25-year-old blondes in bikinis walking by. Stanford looks good. They're the favorite at this point to go through to win the Pac-10. But remember, the Pac-10 is currently the only conference, the only big conference with no undefeated team right now. So you still have Ohio State and Michigan, although Michigan State loses in an ironic twist to Nebraska. Ironic because they lost on an extraordinarily tainted, disputable play. But letting up 39 points to a mediocre Nebraska at best offense and 2 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes, they haven't looked good. And Ohio State, I don't think, has looked great this year. And I find it a little bit laughable that people have them at number 2. I understand that they're undefeated. I understand that they're the defending champion, but that's not really supposed to matter. And their team has looked, in my mind, quite weak. So you're going to have Michigan State and Michigan coming up, plus an undefeated Iowa team, most likely, in the Big Ten championship. Going through Notre Dame, impressive over Pittsburgh. We talked about Baylor with their new quarterback, Seth Russell's out for the year. They're kind of in that – they're undefeated, but again, they still have to play Oklahoma State. They still have to play Oklahoma this week, which is probably the best game of the weekend. And we go from there. University of Houston still undefeated, led by Tom Herman, who will be the old offensive coordinator from Ohio State, who will probably be running around, probably be at a big school, perhaps Maryland, by the end of this year. And it's a really fun weekend in college football. Now, again, my life wasn't too rough. I was at a buddy's bachelor party down in Miami, but I did get to watch just a little bit of college football because I need something to talk about on this show. And actually, it's a good time for me. Baseball is now over. Basketball and hockey are kind of not irrelevant, but they're so early in the season. I will be out next week. Sean will be out 2 weeks after that for his long-awaited trip to Australia with his grandmother, which is quite impressive. And what can I say? My best friend is a bit of a sweetheart. For all those who are looking for a sweetheart to date, please call in at 760-283-0846. And speaking of sweethearts, Mr. Palmer has finally joined us.
Hello, sir. You spoke. Yes, I am joining you from Midtown Manhattan. Focus group over, sports radio on. I assume we're starting to talk about college basketball and your beloved Terps.
I haven't touched on that. I talked a little bit of college football. I thought we should also talk a little bit of Missouri.
Missouri's an interesting case, no doubt about it. I am very proud of the football players for taking a stand. Sometimes, you know what, sports has relevance off the field as well as on the field. And it's bigger than sports, right? I mean, this stuff is much bigger than sports. Sports is just, as I talk to Seth all the time, sports is a diversion from everyday life. But sometimes you can make more out of your position than just being on the field.
Right, and it was the criticism that Michael Jordan always had. That was about Michael Jordan, about Charles Barkley. And then you kind of look at this era of basketball players and LeBron and Chris Paul and, you know, kind of weaning down to the University of Missouri, who, as I say, they stated very briefly at the beginning of the show, we're going to boycott going forward if the university president did not resign. And it looks like he's resigned he's going to step down as of the end of the year, which I believe is acceptable.
Props to Gary Finkel. At the end of the day, Gary Finkel, the coach of the Missouri Tigers, for supporting his players. I mean, I think that's very important that we miss sometimes, is that players or people take a stand, and the people that support them don't get the recognition. Gary Finkel has supported a lot of change at Missouri. He's taken a lot of social causes under his wing, and he stood with his players, and he said, look, this is something my players believe in. I believe in them. This is something that should happen. And he said, this is just the way it's going to be. Now, granted, at the end of the day, it was all about money, right? I mean, we can talk about social reform as much as we want, but this was, again, a purely dollars and cents issue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's great that the football players were involved. And again, this seems to be, you know, 2 years ago we were dealing with Missouri with the Michael Sam case and how the whole team pretty much knew, you know, he went to the whole team and stated that he was gay. And, you know, they played the whole season not caring or not having it have any real, you know, impact. So, you know, University of Missouri has always been pretty well thought of as a liberal, I wouldn't say liberal bastion in regards to like one of the big liberal arts schools. But it's always had a pretty liberal feel to it. And this just adds to it. Now, the question being, and again, this may be going a little bit off of the track, you know, is now the question being, does he resign, does the president resign if the football team does not do this boycott, if the football team is not influencing the boycott and the millions of dollars that could be lost by them not playing, does this happen?
Well, you don't know, and that's okay not to know, because it's what did happen, not what might not have happened. Look, there's a lot of social change that's taken place because some action, and you wonder if that action would have happened had the event not occurred. Juan Carlos in 1968 Olympics, Jesse Owens in 1936 Olympics, things changed, or people's perceptions of things changed because of action. Jackie Robinson, Branch Rickey in 1947, things changed because of their action. Would stuff have happened had their action not taken place? Maybe, but we don't have to worry about that. That's revisionist history. We worry about what happened today and the effects that go on because of their actions. And look, looking back on it, social change is a really hard thing to do. It takes years. It takes decades. And for some person or some people to make that type of stand and to make a difference, respect to them, no question about it.
Well, going forward, it'll be fascinating to see how this plays out. And I talked a little bit about the college football playoff, and a lot of these teams, LSU beaten decisively by Alabama, TCU gets knocked off by Oklahoma State. There's a lot of things out there. And, you know,
Did you just say Oklahoma State won and they beat TCU? I seem to recur talk about this a couple of weeks ago where I said the dark horse may be Oklahoma State in this playoff. They're making their way through, aren't they? They're running the gauntlet here.
We'll see. They still have Oklahoma. They still have Baylor. To beat a
both
team
at home.
With about six or seven of their defensive players out for the year, impressive. But, you know, this is not a typical TCU team, but props to them for doing so. TCU usually built on defense, and this year their defense has been absolutely decimated with injury. But Oklahoma State looked phenomenal. Three or four touchdown passes. I'm forgetting the wideout's name that were over 50 yards. And, you know, Travell Boykin threw for 440 yards, but four big interceptions probably drops him out of the Heisman race. And, you know, we talked also about Alabama beating LSU. Alabama, with one loss, still going to probably be number two or number three. And when the when the playoff rankings come out next week. But there's a month to go. There are a million big games left, and we'll see how it plays out. I think the big one we're going to be looking at, and it surprises me to say this, is going to be Notre Dame-Stanford around Thanksgiving weekend. Stanford was going to be the favorite to win the Pac-10. Notre Dame is going to have one loss, and that's as good a non-conference win as you can get, which makes it interesting. If Notre Dame wins and goes 11-1, are you really not going to include two conferences?
Yeah. Well, I think, as we've said many times before, if Notre Dame's in the hunt and there is a smidgen of hope for Notre Dame to make it into the playoff, they will. I mean, I don't see there's any way that if Notre Dame has one loss and beats Stanford, which they would have to do, that they are not in that playoff, even without a championship game. I don't know your opinions on this, but I don't see how the CFP keeps them out.
And I would agree. Because also their one loss would be a 2-point loss at Clemson, which is probably the best loss.
It was the number one team in the nation. Yeah,
yes.
They're number one team in the nation. Surprising to me, not surprising to you, but I looked up the other day and saw them playing Florida State and it said number one next to their name. I have to tell you, as somebody that has not been paying all that much attention to the college football circuit, look, this is your game, not mine. This is Seth's world, and I just live in it for college football. And I was surprised. Look, Clemson is a good team. They are always a good team. But I watched some of that Florida State game. They're a great team this year.
Yeah, as we said, the favorite to go forward from the ACC to go into the playoff December 31st. Going forward, as I said, we have a bunch to talk about in regards to college basketball. But NFL this week, or halfway through the season, one undefeated gets knocked off, Denver, in a surprise, I guess, a surprising loss, just terrible first half by the men in orange, loses at Indy, who had fired their offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton, earlier in the week. Is this the beginning of the rejuvenation of Indianapolis, or is this Denver kind of exhausted after an incredible performance last week against Green Bay? Is the letdown just natural?
Well, to me, it's Denver that's been riding a great defense, and there were a couple of injuries to their defensive line. DeMarcus Ware went out, probably will not play this week either. Their offense has been nothing special. Peyton Manning certainly showing either age or just decline or both. And fatigue is the cause of this. Look, I just don't think their offense is that good. And their defense is playing unbelievable so far. If the defense can't hold them, they're not going anywhere.
Actually, just watching SportsCenter, the NBA, just to interrupt this, Kobe Bryant announces he wants to play in the 2016 Olympic team.
Wait, what? I missed that. What?
Kobe Bryant just announced he wants to play in the 2016 Olympic team. You got to shoot better than 36% from the floor, Kobe. Sorry. thought at this point he would have retired from that. But anyway. So going forward, we'll see the NFL. What stands out for you this week?
Well, what stands out is that the Jets are right now a playoff team, even with one game in Geno Smith. Ben Roethlisberger out for another 3 weeks, probably 2 to 3 weeks, but they do have a bye week. That stands out a little bit. Carolina Panthers playing as inspired ball as you could find. and playing a different type of game than probably everybody else in the NFL, in that they are proving not that you pass first and set up the run, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. They are one of the very few teams in the NFL right now that is in a pro-style set, and they don't deviate from it. They don't go to that spread formation. They, even though they have a quarterback that can do it in Cam Newton, they are very much, we're going to run the ball down your throat and come and stop us. And they've done it to the tune of 8-0.
I think a couple other things to talk about when you're talking this past week. Props, words I did not think I would really ever say. Props to Blaine Gabbert, a guy who was booed out of Jacksonville, is mired on the bench seemingly forever in San Francisco. Leading them to a, looks relatively good, leading them to a victory over Atlanta, who is falling apart quickly. But I thought that hit out. Pittsburgh, Oakland's offense is phenomenal, but their defense is just, Charles Woodson's finally taking a large step back as Antonio Brown beat him for about 46 catches, I think, for 584 yards yesterday.
All for our fantasy league team, baby.
Yep. Somehow Minnesota may be the quietest 6-2 team I can ever remember, beating St. Louis in overtime. Teddy Bridgewater knocked unconscious, but looks like he will be okay to play next week. The Giants go to Tampa and win. Hope nobody bet the under on that, because on the last play of the game, there was a backwards lateral that went for a Giants touchdown, which gave them the over. New England cruises. Tennessee beats New Orleans. Mariota throws for 300 and some odd yards and 4 touchdowns. Ken Whisenhunt obviously fired. Mike Mularkey in. Maybe it's just every time that you have a new coach fired during the season, you just take that team to win. Buffalo cruises over Miami, which is looking listless once again. And then Philly, Dallas. I was on a flight that got in at 3 a.m. this morning, so I didn't get to see too much of it. All I know is Dallas has lost 6 in a row, and the funny part is they're still not out of the playoff hunt. Did we lose Sean?
It definitely is the NFC least, my friend. I mean, there is nobody who wants to take charge of that division, and there's no defense being played in that division whatsoever. So it seems like whoever's got the most firepower will win. Can the Cowboys, who have lost, 6 in a row? I mean, take is if they win the next two and Romo comes back, they got the best offense in that division. All they're doing is missing a quarterback. And once again, I think this proves the point. You cannot win in the NFL long-term without a quarterback. I know people will point to Trent Dilfer or Jim Plunkett, who I think Blaine Gabbert very much reminds me of, as a washout first-round pick. But unless you have a top-10 quarterback, you're not winning in the NFL anymore. The game is entirely different than when Trent Dilfer quarterbacked that team 20 years ago.
I mean, the problem is there's about 25. It feels like there's 20 to 22 good quarterbacks in the league now. And the bottom 10 are just the ones that are publicized the most. But your guy Fitzy is not a top-10 guy, and you're looking good for a playoff spot right now. So we'll see how it plays out. But your Jets winning 28-23, as I watch the game in the single worst sports bar in the country. I have never written a review in my life, but for all intents, for everyone, just avoid Finnegan's Road in Miami. What a terrible bar. So I guess it's time to talk a little bit.
Let's move on to college basketball. I mean, the rich keep getting richer. As Mr. Giles decides to attend, not this year, but next year, Duke. So another top 5 recruit, although Giles is number 1. I think his first name is Henry Giles, committed over to Duke. And so let's start in the ACC. Your forgotten conference and my my still beloved conference, I guess you could call it.
Well, I think you're starting hold on a second. I think you're starting with who you always start with. I think you're starting with Duke, and you're starting with North Carolina. And here is the interesting point with North Carolina. They have been preseason top three, top five everywhere. I'm not sure I understand why. Because usually when you have teams of this magnitude, the Dukes, the Syracuses, the Kansases, you don't have experience. This Carolina team is extremely experienced, led by Marcus Paige. He's a preseason All-American. They only lost one guy. And I really wonder if there is a lack of talent there. I really do. This was not a team the last couple of years I found particularly impressive. Marcus Paige is injured. He will be back. They have some Maryland, UCLA. But I look at the team, I don't see a great deal of talent there. The Kennedy Meeks is okay. Bryce Johnson is okay. Nate Britt's a decent backup. And the reality, though, is if old Huckleberry Hound down in Chapel Hill is going to win a championship, a third one, it better be this year, because we don't know what we're looking at in regards to sanctions with North Carolina. Because I think both of us think it's going to hit and it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I think, well, based on what's happened previously, how they blame the entire thing on the women's volleyball team, it seems like, I'm not really sure how the beloved Tar Heels will get the hammer thrown at them the same way as my beloved Orange will. Here's hoping. Anyway, but let me ask you this. You being a Maryland guy, you having a great recruiting class this year, definitely in the top five, and we'll get back to the ACC in a second. Are you happy you're not in the ACC this year? Because I got a feeling you can run the table in the Big Ten a whole lot better than you could have, a whole lot easier than you would have been able to run in the ACC.
I'm not happy. I'm indifferent. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think talent-wise, we're as good as anyone in the country. I look at Duke, and they lost three starters. Emile Jefferson's back, and Matt Jones is back, and they're nice players, but they're not. I'm not looking at them and going, "Oh wow," they're the players who are going to, they're going to lead me to the next. They're going to lead Duke to the next championship. I mean, yes, they have huge talent coming in. They have Chase Jeter, they have Luke Kennard, but I don't. Grayson Atlin played one great 8-minute span last year. It happened to be in a title game, so I don't see this as a great conference this year. Notre Dame losing Jeremy Grant and Pat Conning and the 6'8 guy, Cunningham, regardless of who took that team, and Mike Bray's team have perpetually underachieved and took them to within a basket of beating undefeated Kentucky. So I look at that. Louisville, who knows what Louisville, they lost everybody. Harrell's gone. Terry Rozier is gone. Chris Jones was dismissed. It takes a lot to be dismissed from Louisville. So I don't think
I got a bone to pick with you about Grayson, in the fact that, okay, so his one breakout game was the national championship game. And look, I'm the last person that's going to defend Duke and the last person that is going to sing the praises of the Blue Devils. But at the same time, he was a McDonald's All-American. He was a top 10 recruit. The fact that he didn't get playing time before the national championship game is not his fault if there were better players that were playing above him. So,
well, what I'm saying is I don't know what he is.
Right, okay, I can go with that. I could certainly go with he is an unknown. But to downplay his significance is
I'm not downplaying his significance in regards that he could become a very good. I don't know that. I'm downplaying is there's no superstar coming back. He's not a superstar.
Well, okay. Yeah. So let's go around the NCAAs. Let's go around the NCAA. Where are the superstars coming back? Providence with Chris Dunn? Yeah.
Chris Dunn.
There's a superstar coming back. But when you look at the NCAA, you have Malik Pope at San Diego State. Yeah, superstar coming back. Both of those guys are not on teams that are going to be in the top five. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. So when you have superstars coming back, you're generally not a freshman. Right? You're obviously not a freshman. Excuse me. You are generally not a top team.
Well,
so
which is my exact argument with North Carolina.
And I agree with that. But Marcus Paige was hurt last year too, so his stock took a little dip as well. So I understand your contention with North Carolina, and I'm on board with you. Look, they're probably not the top team in the land. I'm on board with you. But to say that if you don't have returning talent, you can't be good, or you're looking for solely returning talent, I think that
would be absolutely silly. That was not my thought process. I apologize if that came out.
Because I do understand your Maryland Terps have a lot of talent coming back. They do.
Yeah, well, we're a bit of an anomaly. But we'll get to them when we hit the Big Ten. But I look around the ACC, and you can talk about your cues, but I don't see this as a particularly strong year in the ACC. Even NC State, if Trevor Lacy had come back, and God knows why he didn't, they would have been making a run at the top of that division, the conference, excuse me. UVA is still very good. But UVA, it seems to be that team that's never extraordinarily talented, but play a very structured game. And it does them well, but it's a tough thing to play through in a UVA tournament. It's a very difficult way to win. But the University of Virginia will be solid as always, and Tony Bennett really should get credit as one of the three or four, one of the best coaches in the country.
Agreed, absolutely. And I see the ACC as a very good conference, probably not the top echelon conference this year, but I think Duke can certainly surprise you and be the look. Could they make the Final Four? Yes.
Of course.
Do they have
Duke.
The Right, no. But what I'm saying is they don't have the returning talent. But if they all they're very much like a Kentucky, right? You got lots of one-and-dones on these teams now, and it's all about how you mesh come March. It's not really how you play come September, October, and November. It's how you mesh at the end. And we've seen Kentucky teams that have not meshed, and then we have seen Kentucky teams that have meshed. And the Duke team, I have a feeling, will mesh, and they will be in the Final Four. And I think you are correct in which you will find North Carolina not there at the end. My cues, you know what? We're in a down year. We are. We have an infusion of new talent, which is good. Malik Richardson, top 50 prospect, good talent. Hopefully not a one-and-done player. But we still have the same core. And the same core didn't really go very far last year. So I don't see them going very far this year. I think they're probably a second round, maybe Sweet 16 team, which to everybody else would be a successful season. To a Syracuse alum, maybe not so successful. But it will be a down year for Syracuse. As you have pointed out numerous times to me, Syracuse is not in the top 25 at the preseason.
I think I pointed that to you once. But okay, going forward, we're going to hit Kansas country, Big 12. Is this the year that Kansas finally does not win the conference?
Nope. I'll bet on 12 against one low any day. President, Phil Self, I'm going to, you know what, show me one time that they don't win, and then I'll predict it the next year too. But until they lose, I will not bet against them.
You know, a team that just always seems to find a way. Phil Self, great, great recruiter. Now, Cliff Alexander was not what they expected him to be. We have preseason freshman All-American, Chuck Diallo comes in. They still have Frank Mason. They still have Wayne Selden. and they still have Perry Ellis, and they're just a dangerous, dangerous team.
Yeah, you're not going to get any differing of opinion to me. Like I said, they are who they are. They are what they say they are. but they are the Big 12 champs until otherwise notified. Let me ask you about Texas, though. New coach, right? New coach, Rick Barnes is gone. Shaka Smart moving in there. A good amount of talent coming in. Where do you see them winding up in the Big 12?
This isn't the year for them. There's a lot of talent there. Rick Barnes always recruited well. It just the last 3 or 4 years, almost similar to Mac Brown. The talent just didn't meld well together, and Barnes had probably outlived his usefulness there. Shaka Smart is, you know, well known for running the 40 minutes of havoc, press, 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 but I don't think that team is built for it. It's going to be an interesting transition, interesting to see how it plays out with when you're trying to have 40 guys, have five guys pressing when you have a guy 6'10", 280 down low.
Do you believe that the Longhorn faithful will be calling for Shaka Smart's head the same way that they are calling for Charlie Strong's head by year two?
No. For a variety of reasons. Number one, it's basketball. They just don't care as much. Number two, Shaka really didn't get a chance to bring in his kind of player, to bring in the players that suited him. It will take 2 or 3 years. And this team will probably still, at worst, make the NIT. So I don't think you're not looking at a complete overhaul. It's just you're just looking at a basic transition, which just takes time. I don't think I think they will give him all the time in the world. The one issue I do see is, remember, he was brought in by Steve Patterson as the athletic director, who's now been fired. I don't even think they've replaced him yet. I'm sure that maybe they have. I don't remember.
They have not replaced him yet.
And so, if they come in and it's a guy that he doesn't get along with, then it may be problematic. But the guy is extremely smart, runs a very fun type of offense, fun type of team. They've been successful. He's turned out in a million overtures. You go to Texas because it can be one of the best jobs in the country in any sport. I think he'll have all the time he needs to succeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, while Seth is a funny guy, the fact that he just said that Shaka Smart is smart was no pun intended.
Oh, yeah, that was not my proudest moment.
So you think Kansas is going to win the Big 12 again, or you think this is the end of that run?
No, it's Kansas until it's not. I kind of agree with you. There's three monster teams in that conference. Iowa State loses Fred Hoiberg, but they bring back Georgia's Nang, who is going to be a preseason All-American. The coach, Steve Prom from Murray State, has been very successful over the last few years. Phil Monte Morris, who's a top point guard. And I have to think they're just aching to get back to March and not try and relive that 3-14 upset. I forget who they lost to, whether it was Georgia State or not. But they'll be very good. Oklahoma, which was a team that I, as a Maryland fan, was disgusted that Oklahoma had a 3 seed and Maryland had a 4. Comes back with Buddy Hield. Lon Cougar's got a monster team there. They'll be top 10. It's Big 10, Big 12 is always underrated in basketball, but college hoops, because of the thought process that it's Kansas and nothing else, but it should be a solid conference this year.
Okay, so let's move on to the Big 10, your baby, or what you hope is the baby of the Terps this year. Ranked number 2 overall in the preseason rankings, number 1 by ESPN in the ESPN The Mag. You can see that on Seth's Facebook page, as I eloquently posted it on there. The man has been beaming since June, waiting for this for the basketball season to start. Are you a Final Four team? Truth, not heart. We're talking head here.
I think it's contingent on the two transfers. Rashid Solomon, the only person ever that Coach K down in Duke kicks out, comes to Maryland. We've heard he's been playing extremely well, very team oriented. He gives them the 3-and-D guy that they're going to need at the two at the wing. He's going to play a little bit of backup point. The rumors around Maryland are the best player on the team is not Melo Trimble, who's preseason All American, but Robert Carter, the transfer from Georgia Tech. He is 6'9". He is a monster, and he's developed a 3-point game. The team is very good. Team is very deep. I think they're now. The question is, can they replace the leadership of Dez Wells? If they do, they're a Final Four team. I think, again, I'm obviously a little bit biased. I think they can. I think this is a Final Four team.
Okay, so we talk every year about our Final Four teams, and you have just named Maryland as yours, as one of the four. So I like to ask this question of you pretty much every year. What is the one position that if this person goes down, they cannot recover from? And I'll ask you that of all your Final Four teams.
No, Trimble, simply put. They cannot – they brought in a JC transfer as a point guard, Jalen Brantley, who will be a nice player, a nice backup. They cannot win without Melo Trimble, who was simply sensational last year as a freshman. Probably the best – debatably, along with Okafor, the best freshman in the country.
Okay. Well, let's move down to the rest of the Big Ten. Where do you see any challenge, if there is? We know Michigan State always puts up a nice fight. We know Ohio State has come back and been playing well over the last decade, as has Michigan. Northwestern, some ups and downs. Penn State, ups and downs. Minnesota, always a tough out, but generally not in the NCAA running. Where are you on the rest of your conference?
It's a good conference. It's certainly not a great one. I mean, the team that everyone is very high on, and it's interesting because their coach has been on the hot seat for the last 4 years, is Indiana. Yogi Ferrell, who is just the bane of Maryland's existence, is back for, it seems like, his seventh year. James Blackman was an absolute stud last year as a freshman. They have an incoming All-American, Thomas Bryant. Robert Johnson, good player, very deep. Them and Michigan State are probably the two biggest threats. I think you just have to take a look, and I think Wisconsin takes a step back, losing Frank Kaminsky, losing Decker. They still have Brandon Koenig. They still have Nigel Hayes. You know, Michigan State, not a great team, but Michigan State, you know, I've said this for years, they have Denzel Valentine, who seems like he's been around forever. To me, Izzo is the best coach in the country. I've been saying this for many years because as good as Krzyzewski is, and this is not an anti-Duke diatribe, and as good as Calipari is, they get whoever they want. Izzo doesn't. Michigan State will start off probably 8-6, and everyone's going to say, here's the step back. And they're going to be 22-10 going into the NCAA tournament, and they're going to be the team that nobody wants to play. That's what they are every year. Extremely deep. They're just a well-coached team. So I don't see any reason why that would change.
Okay, so let's move on to the SEC, where I think we have the top of the top, right? We have Kentucky as winning that conference. I don't think there's any dispute, at least not from my end. I'd like to hear your thoughts. And then we have everybody else. And that's not to say everybody else is bad, just nobody's at the level of them.
Well, to be fair, nobody's at the level of the SEC normally. I mean, the level of Kentucky normally. And now Florida takes a pretty big step back because of Billy Donovan leaving to go to the pros. I don't know what to make out of Kentucky because, again, outside of Tyler Ulis and Alex Poitras, they're all freshmen. They're bringing the guy from Haiti, and I don't pronounce his name right, Scott Labissiere. They're Kentucky. They brought in five guys, but it's not as good a class as they've had previously. They lost seven players from last year's team, a team that was undefeated was expected, was picked by most prognosticators to win the national championship, myself being, well, one of the exceptions. But you know, the team to watch in, there's a couple teams to watch. Number one, yeah, you got to watch LSU. And there's only one, and there's one major reason: Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is the LeBron James of Australia. And I'm not sure what exactly that means, but he is the consensus preseason, All-American, consensus highest recruit coming in the country. Biggest name really since Shaquille.
And in LSU. At LSU.
Yeah,
not the biggest.
At LSU.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. You mean Stanley Roberts doesn't compare?
No, no. Fat Stanley is not much of a comparison. They
okay,
brought in
enough.
Another two other freshmen, Antonio Blakeney and Brandon Sampson, the top five class. And this is a team, they did make the tournament last year. Johnny Jones has put together a nice team. And if Simmons is half as good as they say he is, it's going to be very interesting to see.
Can LSU make a run at Kentucky for this top spot?
I don't know. It's harder for me to gauge this Kentucky team. Outside of Jamal Murray and Labossiere, I don't know much about the newcomers. I know there's Joe Briscoe. I've heard about, you know, Jamal Murray's from Ontario, supposedly an amazing shooter. I don't know what they have. I don't, you know, but these aren't the bigger names that I've heard over the years, so it's a little bit more difficult for me to tell.
Okay, so there's a Final Four team come out. So far we got one Final Four team in Maryland. So the Final Four team come out of the SEC?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. So I'm sorry, we skipped over. We went to the ACC, and I didn't ask you the same question, so I'll ask you now. Does a Final Four team come out of the ACC? Remember, you still have three left to fill.
If there is one, it's going to be Duke. I'm hesitant to go there, but it just does seem like they get one in every year. So,
okay. And who is the player that they are least able to lose? If they lose one guy, like Trimble, who is the guy that, if they lose, it goes downhill? Or is there no guy because they are
I'm not sure there is. I'm guessing it would be the point guard, which is going to be the freshman, Derek Thornton. But I honestly don't know enough about him to make that distinction. But I look, you know, they always have the swing guys. They have Matt Jones, as I said. They have Grayson Allen. Chase Cheeter is going to be big up front. They always have a Plumlee because they just always have a Plumlee. But with Jones leaving, which I think was a little bit unexpected after the tournament that he had, I don't know if they recruited the point guard position as hard. And I don't think they're a Final Four team without a solid point guard. And I'm just not sure. I don't know what their replacement is for Thornton.
Okay, so is Kansas your Final Four team from the Big 12, or are you avoiding the Big 12 all entirely, or are you just picking number ones, which you could be
doing
from all the major conferences?
As of now, I'm staying away from anyone in the Big 12. I have the right to change my mind.
You do. You have the right to change your mind at the beginning of the tournament. Okay, so moving forward, we're going out west. We got about 10 minutes to go, so we're making good time on this preview. Out west to the Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever the heck you want to call them. You got Stanford, you got Arizona State, you got Oregon. Where are you seeing this one lie?
This one goes to Cal. And that's not...
Where you got
not
Cal?
I got Cal winning the conference.
They got some big-time recruits in Cal. They got some big-time recruits this year.
They got two monster top 10 recruits. Quanzo Martin leaves Tennessee, pretty much the run out of Tennessee. And you're looking at Ivan Rabb, you're looking at Jaden Brown. You know, these are top 10, top 15 players. I think this is a team that, you know, I don't see them as a championship team, but I also don't see this as a great year in to pass them. I just don't. And one other guy, I think that I forget, I'm trying to remember what the name is. Jordan Matthews, that's who it is. Jordan Matthews and Tyrone Wall. So they have a solid four. They have a solid, and, you know, I think that could get them there. I think they're going to win a couple games in the tournament. I think you have to look at Arizona because you just always have to look at Arizona, and that's just the way it is. But I think they take a pretty big step back. You know, they lose Jefferson, they lose McConnell. They still have Tarsiewski, which is always a hard name to pronounce, but they don't actually have a guy coming back who averaged 10 points a game last year. You know, UCLA, they have Bryce Alford, but they're not really something that I have a great deal of confidence in. And it's just not a particular, you know, Arizona State brings in Bobby Hurley as new coach, Gary Payton. You know, you're older when Gary Payton's kid is playing at Oregon State. And Utah should be pretty decent, but I'm not looking at this. Poto is potentially a lottery pick, but I'm not really looking at this as a great conference this year.
All right, so you have gone through all the big conferences, the Power Five. You have come up with two Final Four teams, and that leaves two Final Four teams still to go. And I don't know where you're going with this. Are you going to the AAC with UConn, perhaps, or maybe Providence led by Chris Dunn? Are you going to the WAC with Gonzaga? Where are you going with this, my buddy?
Well, you forgot one big one, and it's one you should be
the Big East?
There you go.
The Big East? Yeah, but they're not a Power Five.
They're not a Power Five, but they have some big-time talent. And
they do.
Big-time
no question.
Talent,
Villanova. Villanova, big time down.
There you go. And that's who I have in the Final Four as well. Led by, and I'm pronouncing the last name, was Ryan Carson. What, you should know this. Ryan Accedano. Like, I can never pronounce his name right. But they have one of the best backcourts in the country with him and Josh Hart.
And they have
the sixth man last year.
And they have the best dressed coach in the country. By
they
far.
Do.
Not even close.
And Mr. Wright, Jalen Brunson's preseason freshman All-American. You know, they've underachieved over the last couple of years in the tournament. They've been very, very good. Otherwise, I mean, last year, 33-2, and then they lose to NC State. I think they make the run this year. I don't think this is a great year in college basketball. And
never
think
it's a great year in college basketball, ever.
I don't, because which is why I like my Terps so much this year, because they are deep and experienced. And again, I realize this is the argument that was made against Carolina, but I just think they're a better team than Carolina.
Okay, so you have, if we're looking at the Big East, we have the Catholic 8 plus 2. Is there any other team coming out of there? Obviously, Providence with Chris Dunn is a good pick, but probably not a Final Four team.
Not a Final Four.
Xavier, Creighton, Georgetown, any of those guys making a run? We got about 5 minutes left, so I'm trying to push you through.
No, not really. And, you know, unless St. John's is bringing back their coaching staff to play, they're losing to a D2 team by 30 probably does not set up too well. I'm going – Gonzaga is tempting. But every year I expect something from them, and every year it just doesn't happen. So I'm going with the team that probably should have made it 2 years ago. I'm going with the team that probably should have won the national title 3 years ago, and I'm going with the team that has the best backcourt in the country, in Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker. I'm going with Wichita State.
You're going with where?
Transfers in. I'm going with Wichita
State. I'm sorry. Wichita State, okay.
Yeah, you know, I love Doug. Greg Marshall stays. They lose Darius Carter, but this team is deep. This team is bigger, and they have the best. And as I said, they have the best backcourt in the country. And
okay,
I will
so
go,
you've,
I'll ta-
you've picked. You picked your four. Who is the player on that team that they can ill afford to lose?
You can't lose Fred VanVleet. He's the best point guard in college basketball, period. Okay. I mean, to me, this so it's a guards league. It's not a big man season. It's a small man season. And
understood. Okay, so you got your final four. Who are playing in your final game, and who is your final champion? And we got 5 minutes to go, so we're going to blow through the awards real quick.
How can I not go Maryland Duke? How can I not go there?
Okay, so Maryland Duke and Seth and Sean will be at the final four if that happens. Okay,
oh, God,
so moving forward, we will be. We will be at the final four. Taxes be damned. Okay.
Damn straight.
So anyway, moving on from there, your player of the year?
Player of the year is probably going to be Ben Simmons.
It's going to be who? I'm sorry?
Ben Simmons.
Okay, Ben Simmons. Okay, and he would obviously be your freshman of the year as well.
Yes.
Who will be your coach of the year?
Jay Wright.
Okay. So we got Jay Wright, we got Ben Simmons, and we got Ben Simmons. Okay, well, that's a pretty easy way to go there. I think it's either going to be Jay Wright or it will be Greg Marshall for Wichita State. I think.
Are you liking my Wichita State pick?
I just think Wichita State, I like them. I'm not sure if they go to the Final Four. I certainly think because Coach of the Year is based, I believe, only on regular season. So I will take them as Coach of the Year. I think they will definitely finish with like a 28-4 record like they always do. My final four picks, and I got 3 minutes, so I'm going to go really, really quickly. I am going to take Duke. I'm going to take LSU. I am going to take Kentucky. And I'm going to take Maryland just for the sake of taking Maryland. Because, you know what, it would be nice for Mr. Kamens to have a winning season in some sport. So, no, it would be. I just like that. So, player of the year, if LSU is going to the Final Four, I'm also taking Ben Simmons, who will also be the rookie of the year as well. I think Noah Tremblay has an outside shot at player of the year if Maryland is as good as Mr. Kamens thinks that they are going to be. So let's go with that. Okay, we got 2 minutes to go. Seth, I understand you're not going to be here next week. So for our show, he will be in some form of South Carolina, plantation with his lovely wife. She'll be having the whole Kentucky Derby hat and everything like that, and we'll be sure to take pictures and post those. I think my brother will be hosting some of the show on hockey next week, so if you have any hockey questions, please call in and talk to Mitch and Sean. I'm never first on the bill. It just doesn't happen that way. And then Seth will be back in 2 weeks when I go away to Sydney and New Zealand, and I will be sure to have a link to the Facebook page of Grandma and Sean. Again, I'm not getting first bill. Grandma and Sean's trip to Australia and New Zealand.
So we won't be hosting for another month.
Womp womp. That's about right. So I'll see you in a month. Good luck to your Giants. And we'll talk soon.
For Sean Palmer, this is Seth Kamens on the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show, backsports.com.
He's still not getting first billing. Not getting first billing.
Someday. Someday.
See you, bud.
When you're awfully low, I will give you first billing. Have a good night, everybody.
Yay. See ya.